You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 3. Now, that's the God's confirmation that men make coffee, Hebrews. You know, you've heard that, I'm sure. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, for a few weeks we've been teaching on don't limit God. And what I mean by that and what the scripture means, because that's just a scripture. Psalm 78 says they limited the Holy One of Israel. What that means, simply put, is that the limitations in your life, you put on them. You put those limitations on. God can do anything, but anything's not happening and everything's not happening in your life and my life. And that's because we're limited him. We're limited him by not believing. We're limited him by not praying. We're limiting him by not obeying his principles and doing what he says. We're limiting him in our lives, not limiting him that he becomes less of who he is. Nothing you say or do is going to change God. Are you with me? But what you say and do opens up God to move in your life. Real simple scripture. We all know it. I've already quoted it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But it doesn't stop there. It says that whosoever believeth should not perish. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So every single promise, when you think about it, they're all conditional. We often talk about the unconditional promises of God. There are no unconditional promises of God. All the promises have a condition, and the condition that you believe or that you come, and that's the clarion call. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Are you with me? And so we say, come. Jesus said, come. That's the clarion call. You know, come, do something, step up, come to Jesus, hallelujah. You just need to come to Jesus. You need to call on him, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. So there again, there's that condition again about salvation as a condition. Now, my faith is not the cause of my salvation, it's the condition of my salvation. Jesus is the cause of my salvation, always. There's nothing I could do to be saved. He did everything for me to be saved. Now, the only condition is that I believe it. Yeah. That's not the cause of it. That's the condition. A little difference between cause and condition. You'll understand that. And so when we say limit God, scripturally, biblically, just like the Bible says in Psalm 78, says they provoked him, they tempted him in the wilderness, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. We've been on this for a few weeks. How did they limit him? Well, they questioned him at every turn. They said, can God provide in the wilderness? Can God do this? Can God do that? And then they complained and they murmured about not having enough onions on their quarter pounder with cheese. You know, they just manna burgers and manna soup and manna bread and manna. You know, they wanted some leeks. They call it leeks. That was onions that they had in Egypt. They groaned and they moaned and they complained and they murmured and they tempted God and they provoked God. They didn't trust God. And we can see that through the scripture, and it's a great event. This wilderness journey that we hear about in the Old Testament, the Canaan land, the promised land, which is a type of our Christian walk. It's not a type of heaven. Rest assured, your first job in heaven is not to take Jericho. You're not going to fight anybody in heaven. There's nobody sitting in your mansion that you're going to have to run off. You know, you get to heaven. Heaven's not a type of, Canaan land's not a type of heaven. It's a type of our Christian life because we do fight as Christians and we take city by city as it were. You have to fight for your peace, fight for your sanity, fight for your home, fight for your marriage, fight for your country. Christianity is a fighting religion. I don't like to say religion because it's not one. But we're about fighting. We're about fighting the good fight of faith. We're about being soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're about praying and believing and standing on the word. Are you with me? And going forward and aggressively moving. We're the army of God. Are you with me? But why is that? Because we're living in a war zone. That's why. Because we're living in a broken, fallen world. We're living in a world that God originally made, but it's not in the state that God made it. We're living in a world that God created, but not a world where he is in control of. And I know that shocks your religious minds, but the Bible is very plain. God does not control everything that goes on the earth. In fact, you do a lot of dumb things, and I do a lot of dumb things, and that has nothing to do with God whatsoever. There's God, there's you, and there's the devil. And we know the story. It's all in the Bible. You can start back in Genesis. Adam sinned against God. He disobeyed God. That wasn't God's plan. It didn't shock God, didn't catch him by surprise, but it's not what he originally intended. God intended for Adam to live forever. And you know, God didn't change his plan. because nothing you do is going to change his ultimate plan. You know, you might be an interruption, but he's going to still come around and do what he always said he's going to do. And you know what? You and I are going to live forever, just like he originally planned. Are you out there? Because we bought back into the plan. When Jesus came, God made ways for us to continue this plan. You can't stop God from bringing to pass his plan. This train is coming down the tracks. Now, you can get on the train or you can get off the train, but you better get off the track because it's coming down the track. Are you out there?
Yeah.
And salvation has been God's plan. Are you with me? And you can get in on it or you can get out of it. God's not going to make you do one or the other, but you're not going to change his plan. We're all predestined in Christ to be saved. That's not personal predestination. That's a plan that's predestined. The plan of salvation is that everybody in Christ goes to heaven.
Yeah.
That's the plan. You're not going to change it. You didn't make it. You can't shake it. You can't break it. But you can get on the train. You can accept Jesus and go to heaven because only those in Christ go to heaven, and that's what's predestined. Not you to be saved or me to be saved, but to everybody in Christ to be saved. And if you accept Christ, you can be saved.
Amen.
That's what predestination is. Predestination is not everything you do and every little move you make. Predestination is God's going to do what he says. He's going to make his plan come to pass. He's gonna come back just like he said. You can't stop it.
Amen.
There's going to be a 1,000-year reign on this earth. There's going to be a new heaven and new earth after that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Looking forward to that day. Amen.
Yes,
but while we're here, if we want to get in on the plan, we need to follow the rules. We got to follow the principles that God has given us. That's what the Bible's all about. It's a manual for living is what it is. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to pray. It tells us how to have a successful marriage. And, you know, and if we're not perfect at it, I got that. It tells us how to be healed and how to have our prayers answered and how to have a miracle if we need one. We're not perfect, and I understand that. We heard some wonderful testimonies in class this morning. And I think it's just awesome, the class, that we can share, we can comment. You can't do that while I'm preaching here. Don't try that, okay? Because you want to get crazy. I can get crazy. But anyway, but the class, it's a different format, and we get to talk, and it's wonderful. We heard some tremendous testimonies and sharing in there, and I think that's great. And some great, and sometimes we failed, and, you know, we hear that, and that's good. Life's that way. I'm not perfect. How about you? Well, a couple of you. All right. But God is.
Yes.
He's perfect. And so we have this Bible that tells us what not to do and tells us what to do. And you know, when we miss it, we just go back to the drawing board. But don't ever question God. God means what he says, and he'll do what he says. And he's not a man he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. Amen. He's good. And all the time, God is good. So this incident in the wilderness is where the problem with them wandering for 40 years was their problem, not God's. God would have taken them straight on into the Canaan land. He sent 12 spies out there to check it out and to come back to bring a report of what kind of land it was and the fruit of the land and so on and so forth. And they got the idea they were going to come back and tell them whether they could have it or not. God forbid I would stand up here and preach to you week to week and tell you whether you can have what God says you can have or not, whether you're up to the task, whether God's big enough to give you what God says he give you. That's not my job. My job is to get up here and tell you what God said he would do.
That's right.
And then it's your job to accept it or reject it. God forbid I'd stand up here and say you can't have what God says you can have.
Yeah.
And you can't do what God says you can do. And you are not who God says you are. Oh, Lord, no. I'm supposed to stand up here and say God said this. And you are who God says you are. And you can have what God says you can have. And you can do what God says you can do. Now go do it. We are well able to go and overcome. Hallelujah. The Lord is with us. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. That's what Joshua said. Joshua and Caleb, they stood up and brought back a good report. But the 10 spies that had an evil report, the Bible says they brought an evil report of unbelief. Wow. So God's really not pleased with unbelief. He really wants us to believe, doesn't he?
Yes.
That's not so wild when you think about it. How'd you like somebody call you a liar every day, all day long, every time you said something? I don't believe that. You know what? You'd finally quit hanging around that person, wouldn't you? I mean, that's just a little insulting. But you know, we do it with God all the time. I mean, we'll sit there and say, God, I know what you said, but I'm just having a hard time believing that. I'm just having a hard time with that. Well, we never think about how disrespectful that might be to God. Are you with me? God loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. He's just trying to help us. And he puts the hand out to help us, and we're just slapping the hand and saying, no, I don't believe that. No, I don't. Now, we use all kinds of reasons for that, not believing. It sounds very reasonable for us not to believe because we have so many reasons. And really, the more reasons you come up for not believing God, it makes not believing God more reasonable. You'll have to think on that one. But anyway, but we don't need to be doing that. In fact, we need to learn from this experience they had in Kadesh Barnea in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, and which is repeated all throughout the scripture, and how they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, a wilderness of their own making, a wilderness of depression of their own making, a wilderness of poverty of their own making, a wilderness of pain of their own making. See, sometimes we are our own worst enemy, and we're creating that wilderness ourselves because of the things we're saying and the things we're doing and what we're, you know, what we're believing or not believing. God is inviting us to believe him and trust him. Well, this is a whole new future for us, isn't it? Amen. Trust God. Hallelujah. Put your trust in God. Man, changes everything when you do that. It gets you out of that wilderness and gets you into that promised land or land of promises. When you think about it, the promised land is just the land of promises. So if you want to go over into the land of promises and cross that Jordan, then you need to believe to get there. Amen. And if you want to take, you know, Jericho and Ai, those cities that were laid out there that they took, if you want to take them one by one, then you just need to believe when that obstacle comes up. Obstacles will come up. Mountains will arise. Crisis will happen. We live in a broken, fallen world. We are in a war zone here. We do have an enemy who is the devil, walks about as more rocks about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. You just need to stand up and say, you may not devour me. He's looking for permission, and you don't need to give him the permission. Now, does that mean nothing bad's ever going to happen? Of course bad happens. We're in a broken world. You've got crisis. I've got crisis. We heard a story this morning, a terrible, tragic thing that happened. It happens. Life has bad things that happen. But we pick ourselves back up. We stand back up. We've got a future and a hope and a destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? A righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again, the Bible says. We don't have to quit. We don't have to give in or give up. What we need to do is get back on our feet, start believing God again, and let God show up and let him show out. Woo! So, Hebrews 3, the Cowboys will win again. Wow. They will win again. There's always next year. Yeah. Honestly, you want to know the truth? I'm rooting for the Packers too. Now the Cowboys aren't there. I'm rooting for the Packers. That's my next team. So, but you know, you don't quit. You don't give up. Come on. You can't waller in the mud. You can't just stay down. Okay, you got hurt. You got hit. Cut me. I bleed. We all bleed. But you know, are you going to stand back up? Come on. You can get back up. It's not over. God's still alive. The Bible's still true. Everybody doesn't hate you. There's somebody that loves you. Jesus loves you. And there's a whole lot more people than you realize love you too. Amen. And there's hope for you. Hallelujah. But Hebrews 3, y'all found it?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of time here because, man, I know y'all are hungry. We're going to be eating about 15, 20 minutes here. Good. 15 minutes, okay. All right, Hebrews 3 recounts this instance that took place, the wandering in the wilderness, the 40 years in the wilderness. Incidentally, they all died except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb made it into the promised land because they believed. Took them 40 more years, but you know what? They still got to experience the experience, and they got in there, and they were just as strong when they went in there as they were 40 years before. That's exactly what Caleb said. You know, Caleb said he looked at that mountain where where the giants were, where the Phil. Okay, where am I? Wills Point? Is this Wills Point, Texas? Okay. The Israelites came back. The 10 spies came back with a bad report in the 13th chapter, and they said, oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. And they talked about the walled cities and the giants there. They're so big. Well, you know, the problem was not that they were grasshoppers in the giant's sight. The problem was they're grasshoppers in their own sight. That was the problem. They should have seen themselves the way God saw them. Amen? You ever seen that meme or that picture on Facebook? It's been a lot. A little kitten looking into a mirror, and there's a lion in the mirror. That's the way you ought to see yourself, okay? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you now. You are more than conquerors through him that loved you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And he always causes you to triumph in Christ, and he always gives you the victory. That's what you ought to see when you look in the mirror. But the problem is we're looking into a natural mirror. We should be looking into the mirror of the Word of God. If you'll look in the mirror of the Word of God, you'll see how you really are. Hallelujah. Because this natural mirror just shows the outward appearance. This inward, this spiritual mirror shows the inward man. Woo! Amen. The man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And while we look not at the things which are seen, we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Hallelujah. See, we've got to get a picture of that. Start living out of the spirit instead of out of the flesh, and seeing in the spirit instead of seeing in the natural. And be true to who we really are, because all this right here will all pass away. We'll all look at it as an old tale one day. It's temporary. It's mortal. It's actually called corruptible, death doomed, as it were. And one day this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality, and death will be swallowed up of life, and the grave will lose its sting, and death will lose its victory. Hallelujah! It's coming. And we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump will sound. And the dead will be raised, and that's us. And we'll have a whole new body, no more wrinkles, no more makeup, ladies. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Mm. But we're not there yet, so keep using the makeup. I'm for makeup. Okay. But having said that, they looked in the natural instead of the supernatural. They looked at what they saw in the flesh instead of what God said in the spirit, and that's why they couldn't enter in. And we do the same thing, don't we? I mean, we'll look at all of our inabilities. We'll look at all of our, you know, goodness, it can't be me, can't be here, can't be this time. Maybe if I was someone else, somewhere else, and some other time. No, it's not somewhere else. It's not someone else, and it's not some other time. It's you, and it's here, and it's now.
Amen.
You can do it. Amen? God is the God of today. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He's the great I am.
Amen.
And he's big enough right now. Big enough right now. Praise God. It's not about Moses. It's not about Abraham. It's not about Peter, James, and John. It's about Jesus. And this Jesus we have. This spirit that raised him from the dead is in us. Hallelujah. Oh, the God of Moses. And the God of, no, he's my God. He's my Father. Hallelujah. They are just examples for me to go by. That's all. But we're supposed to repeat and continue this thing. Hallelujah. It's still going on today. Hallelujah. Y'all in Hebrews 3 yet? Okay. I'm just getting stirred up. Excuse me for getting excited. It's y'all's fault. Y'all the one who started the whole deal by shouting and hollering and all that while we're praising the Lord and actually getting into it. And then, Jesus freaks. Love it. Love it. I wouldn't be anywhere else. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, okay. It says here in the third chapter of Hebrews, 7th verse. We'll just start there. 7th verse. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, now that's King James. Now, most modern translations say Holy Spirit. I understand that. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing. It's just when you say Holy Ghost, people start looking around like somebody's there. I like that. You say spirit, that could mean anything. You know, when you say ghost, they go, whoa, it's a ghost. And he is a person. He's not just, you know, and it's archaic, it's outdated. I got it. I understand. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice. Everybody say if.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to make a decision. I'm going to hear God. Now, you won't hear him if you don't decide to hear him. You won't hear him if you're not actively listening to him. It was Blaise Pascal. He was a French physicist, and he said this. He said that, that God made the world in such a way that he put enough of himself in it that if a man looked after him and sought after him, he'd find him. But he didn't put enough himself in creation for you to find him if you did not seek him.
Yeah.
I like that, because that's really what Jesus said. Jesus said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled.
Yeah.
He said, he that seeks, finds. He that knocks, the door be open. He that asks, will receive. So he's not just going to hit you in the front, in the head. You're going to have, you need to call out. You need to seek. If you will, though, you'll find him. Because if you hunger, you'll be filled. Think about it. So he's telling you, if you will hear his voice, it's your choice. God won't make you hear his voice. He's given you the choice to hear his voice. Like it's an option, like it could go either way, like you stand at a crossroads. That's what Billy Graham always said. Christianity is man at the crossroads. You can go either way here. You can serve God or not serve God. You can listen to God or not listen to God. You can seek after God or you can not seek after God. God's a perfect gentleman in this respect. He's not going to make you serve him. He's not going to take you to heaven kicking and screaming. It's your choice. But if you choose, you will meet him. You will find him. Because God, I've said it many times, but God doesn't want to dance with a mannequin, and he doesn't want to dance with a robot, and he doesn't want to pay you to dance. He wants you to freely come. And it means so much to him and you both when that happens.
Right.
When you choose to serve him, when you choose to call on him, when you choose to praise him. Woo, man, you talk about gets God excited. He loves that. He loves that because you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to come to church today, but here you come. Here you are.
Yeah.
Come back to hear me again. I don't know why. But it says here, harden not your hearts is in the provocation, talking about that temptation in the day of temptation, the wilderness that we just talked about, where they sent the 12 spies out, came back, and they all got in doubt and unbelief and wound up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Don't harden your heart. In other words, that wasn't God's plan. God didn't want that to happen. But, you know, God does work with us wherever he can work with us. God has a perfect plan. Seldom do we ever fall into that category. Are you with me? But even if we don't fall into it, if we'll just try, God will meet us where we are. You know why? Because it's a relationship. He's not a machine. He's a person. Are you out there?
Yeah.
Just like you have kids, anybody got kids? Are they perfect? Okay. You may think they are. We know better, okay? But anyway, they're perfect. Well, they're real little. They're just never a more perfect baby than that baby. And all of a sudden, their will begins to develop. Are you with me? But you work with them because you love them. I mean, you work with them best you can. You got great plans. You have plan A, plan B, C, D, the whole alphabet. Then you create another language even with kids. But that's okay. You love them. And God works with us too. You haven't. Everybody gets all out of whack about the perfect plan of God. You know, don't worry about the perfect plan of God. Do what you have a passion to do and you feel led to do, the fire you can't put out. Do it the best you can do. Sometimes you're going to be hitting on all eight cylinders. Sometimes you're not. But God loves you and he's for you. Just get back up and keep going. Just keep adjusting. You know, it's kind of like an airplane. An airplane, when it takes off at point A and it lands at point B, it never, never, ever flies perfectly straight. Even with instruments, it never flies perfectly straight from point A to point B. What happens is, as it veers a little because of wind or rain or air pressure or whatever, you know, it says, okay, it readjusts. It just, you have to go back over just a little bit and go back over just a little bit and go back over just a little bit. It's constantly readjusting. The GPS and all the instruments in there are doing that. That's all we have to do is just reset. You know, okay, you got a little off here. Well, let's get back. You don't have to start back over. Just adjust back over. You took a little zig. Well, take a little zag. Okay? Let's go back. And God works with us. Thank God. So everybody talks about the perfect will of God. I think that's wonderful, but I'm not under any delusion. I don't just live in the perfect will of God. I strive for that, do the best I can. But whatever fire you can't put out, that's the fire, that's the leading of God. Whatever it is you can't get rid of. When you pray, it keeps coming up. That's probably what God wants you to do. Amen? And don't live in confusion. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just keep doing what you do know to do. Be kind, you know, be faithful, live holy, love people, serve God, go to church, read your Bible. You know, do whatever it is that you do. Keep doing it. And if nothing else is revealed, just keep doing that. God told me 35 years ago to come to Will's Point and start this church. And there were other people that already had Bible studies and people that, you know, Dr. Galloway, who's not here, had a Bible study. Many people had gathered together. I didn't, when I say started, I mean I just became the pastor of something that had been planned and prayed about for years. Some ladies had prayed for 10 years. For a church like this. And God led me to come here. It's a fire I couldn't put out. Every time I prayed, it'd come up, Will's Point. I fought it, even rebuked the devil, and it wasn't the devil, it was God. Seriously, literally. And so I came and we started the church, and God has never told me to leave this church. So, I just keep doing the last thing God told me to do. You said 35 years? Yep, It's been a great ride. I'm loving it. Just loving it. Praise God. If God tells me to leave, I'll leave. I don't see that happening, so don't get worried. But I mean, this is what God told me to do. It's the fire I can't put out. It's the light that won't, I can't darken. It's the passion I can't get rid of. I mean, wherever I go, and I've traveled all over the world. I've done missionary work all over the world. You know that. I've been to several countries all over the world, preached in places and conferences all over the world. I just keep coming back here because this is where I'm supposed to be. And I never stay gone more than, I think one time we stayed 3 weeks. I'll never do that again. I never stay gone more than 2 weeks or two Sundays, you know, when we do leave. Because this is it. This is God's will. Have I been perfect? No, of course not. But I learned a lot. I'm still there, and I'm still faithful. And many of you have been here for 30-plus years. Some of you have been here since we started. Wow. Think about it. You can't do anything that long without getting good at it.
Amen.
Hello. So we're getting gooder. Amen? Okay. But we don't ever want to complain and gripe, moan, and groan. You know, why didn't we go to a bigger city? Why didn't you send us to Elmo or Edgewood or Frog? That's a community right outside of Elmo, yeah. So he says, don't harden your hearts as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart. Where'd the err? In their heart. They erred in their heart. They erred in their believing. They erred in their faith. And that's always where we err, isn't it? We stop believing.
Yeah.
That's right.
We get in our head. We get out of our heart and in our head.
Yeah.
And you got to quit that. You got to stay in your heart. You got to stay in faith. You got to stay focused on what God says and quit trying to figure that whole thing out. You're just not that smart. I hate to pop your bubble.
Yeah.
But you're not that smart. None of us are this smart, okay? God is. You say, well, I've been around a long time. Well, you haven't been around as long as God. You have not been around as long as God, and you've never done what God does. How in the world could you ever match wits with him? Brother Osteen used to always say, you want to know the greatest revelation I ever received from God? And Brother Osteen was very animated. Joel Osteen's dad, John Osteen, that was our pastor for years. And he would bounce, and he was an animated preacher. You know, I'm more of a teacher. He's more of a preacher teacher. You know, he'd bounce around and, you know, do all that stuff and get away with it and do it good. You know, but anyway, he said, do you want to know what the greatest revelation I ever received from God was? And everybody go, yeah, yeah. And he said, oh, raise your right hand. And everybody raise their right hand. You say, do you really, really want to know the greatest revelation I ever received from God? Do you really want to know? Well, raise your left hand. And then he goes, well, stand up if you want to know. Everybody jump in. Here it is. The greatest revelation I ever received from God is God is smarter than I am. And we're all going, that's it? That was the greatest revelation? But you know, that is a great revelation when you get a hold of it, amen? God is smarter than you are. Aren't you glad? So why try to figure all this thing out? Get out of your head and get in your heart. That's where you err, you err in your heart. It says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. That's fascinating, because they saw what he did. They crossed the Red Sea by dry land. They ate the manna from heaven every day. They saw his acts, but they didn't know his ways. That's an indictment. Think about it. While I try to catch my breath, I have to run around like Brother Osteen. Many of us know what God can do. Many of us have seen God do many things. Many of us can be in the midst of it, been in services where God was moving. Many of us know of many people have had testimonies and miracles and signs and wonders. Many of us have read the Bible and seen it over and over and over, not ignorant of what God does, but don't really know how he does it. Are you with me? His ways. Oh, I know God can. We often hear that, you know. But we just don't know how God does things. See, you think about Moses. Moses knew how God did things. They just knew he did things. But Moses knew how he did things. And so when it come down to where doing what they should do so God could move, they didn't know how he did it, and they got in doubt and unbelief. God always does everything he does through faith. Always. I mean, I don't care what it is. You can't get saved without believing on Jesus. You have to trust in Jesus. You have to believe Jesus. You have to believe that if God told you to do something, it's going to happen. You have to trust that. Will doubts come? Well, sure they will, but you just don't act on them. Will fear come? Sure it will, but you just don't act on it. Are you with? Will people discourage you? Of course they will. They did all through the Bible. They'll do it today. They did it to Jesus. They'll do it to you. But you just have to stay focused. Amen? You just have to say, you know what? I know how God's going to get this done, and he's not going to quit if I don't quit. Are you with me? He's not going to stop if I don't quit believing. So I'm just not going to quit believing. I'm just going to keep believing. Amen? Their problem was they quit believing. They got through all that, all the plagues, the Red Sea, the manna, and then they had that last challenge, and they decided they just quit believing and didn't get it. They just didn't understand that it was their faith that got him to show up in the first place. You remember why God sent Moses? He was up on that mount. Remember, he was up on that mount, and he saw that burning bush, and God says, the cry of my people has come up to me, and I am come down to deliver them. They cried out to God. They started trusting God. They started praying. See, and that's how God moved, and now they stopped that. Don't ever stop that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So he swore, 11th verse. Let me read a few more verses real quick, and we'll go eat. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you, any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Cease to believe him. Cease to put your trust in him. Cease to put your hope in him. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell at all. I think you can be a Christian and love God and die and go to heaven, but live in a lot of hell down here unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Because we don't trust, because we don't believe.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And he says this, you depart, how? With unbelief. But exhort one another daily. In other words, encourage each other, what it's called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Don't throw away your confidence. Amen? Keep believing. You believe in Jesus to be saved? How many of you believe that? Well, continue to believe in Jesus for whatever it is you're praying for, whatever it is you're facing in life, whatever crisis comes up, whatever mountain looms on your horizon. Don't stop believing in Jesus. Don't throw away your confidence. 15th verse. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now here's a promise right here. By stripes you're healed. Here's another one. That will keep in perfect peace. His mind stayed on thee. Are you with me? Here's another one that says, though I haven't seen him, not yet rejoicing, we believe. Hallelujah. Believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. I mean, there's so many wonderful promises, promised land, land of promises, but you cannot enter if you don't believe. You cannot enter any promise if you don't believe. Because that's God's way. That's the way God does things. God does everything by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Not just that he is, but that he is also a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. That's all it takes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, going to have to quit. I've already gone over a little bit. Stand up with us if you would. Hallelujah.